Thank you. As we get started this morning, I do want to call your attention to the pictures on the right. This just shows you an example, thank you, of how much the verse I am talking about today means to me, that my husband has put it on a picture of our kiddos, and I made my own little artwork, and it is absolutely my favorite verse that I plan to kind of gift to you today. But before we get started, I'm more than happy to make fun of myself and show you why. So there's nothing more dangerous than someone going to a conference and knowing you're the next up to do sermons, the pastor's choice, because at this conference, I have outlines and amazing things I want to share with you all, and as I hear it and I'm writing it down, I'm like, keep it together, Strew, you got a plan, because of course I left for the conference in my type A nature, already having it written, and today is about prayer. So I had to push all of those things I learned to the side, and anyone can call me later and ask me and pick my brain from what I learned. But this just shows you some of the highlights. The worship was so amazing that I've already called Kelsey, and we have found my three top favorite songs, and we will be bringing them into worship team for you all. And the next one is when you are amongst children's pastors from all over the country, of course you buy t-shirts you can't find anywhere else in the country, right? So this one's one of my favorites because I will wear my titles. The definition is hilarious with children's ministry. The other highlighted one that everyone bought, and by the time I got to the store, it was not in my size unless I wanted to wear a t-shirt to my feet. And it said something like, Sundays are for Jesus, coffee, and goldfish crackers. Truly. If you see the amount of goldfish I buy in a month, I could take stock in it and make $1 million. The next one I texted to all of my clubhouse teachers because we see this man every single Sunday in our Bible curriculum. He is, I'm sure, the Bible writer, but I also call him the actor of our Bible stories because he is on our DVD. And I looked ahead of time to see if my curriculum writer was there at this conference because I still find it to be timeless and wasn't planning on changing. And I didn't see it under Elevate. So when I saw his booth, I saw Easter, and I'm like, oh, I could use some new Easter curriculum, and I kind of got nose to nose with him, and I'm like, I know who you are, and he's like, you must use Elevate. I'm like, I do, and so it was kind of, this is like starstruck for children's pastors. Thank you. I know how ridiculous this sounds, and the next one is Miss Patty Cake Praise. Let's just give a little clap if you know who that is. Oh, you need to come into my nursery. I texted that picture to Brian, and he's like, oh, that is like you, but blonde. I'm like, I know, I would wear that bib in a heartbeat. No problem, squares, triangles, you name it. So this was an amazing conference that I got to go to, and I just kind of giggled at myself on the people that I met. And we do play Patty Cake Praise in the church nursery. And along the lines of still making fun of myself, like I said, a good sense of humor, look at this next picture. And this is the moment that I came across my life verse. It was, let's go back to 1994. For some of you, it makes me old. For others of you, think I'm a babe. So I'm like right in the middle, right? I had met my high school sweetheart that summer. We canceled for a whole month and then were campers and dating by the end of senior high camp. And we didn't have to be sad when we said goodbye because there was 5 hours between us because we traveled to Triennial, which was a big youth conference in Texas. So I knew I'd see him in 2 weeks. So this concert, again, like let's just shout out if you were to go to a concert in high school, like a junior, what would make you, like, super excited that you got to take a picture of him with them? No one wants to admit to me. I know that I'm as Baptist square boxy as possible, that this group made me jazz. But come on, humor me. Who would you want to have seen in high school? So who? Nice. I mean, I could even say, like, Bon Jovi. I mean, that's probably as far out of the Christian box as I could probably say at the time. So pretend you are starstruck seeing one of your favorite bands. This band was a cappella. And I know. And I love them because they sang a cappella in four-part harmony, and I came from a long line of singers, and I really, like, was so excited that they were going to be at this conference. And so, of course, I got my picture with them. And if you look at the picture of Brian and I, that was the first time we held hands. It was very special. But also special in that moment was when they referenced Ephesians 3, 20, 21. And this is not this Bible, and you'll see why in a minute, but I had a Bible in my lap. Because it was a youth conference, and it was my favorite Bible. And I had a theory. I'm going to tell you right now, the theory did not work. I'm almost 42, but I had a theory that if I kept this precious fifth grade Bible that I had gotten, and it was little and petite, and I could take it with me wherever I wanted, if I brought a highlighter, and it didn't matter what color, it could be various colors, if I brought a highlighter with me for the rest of my life and my Bible, every time someone read a Bible verse to me, or I read one, or something was referenced, and I highlighted it, I might accidentally read the whole Bible by the time I see Jesus. That was my theory. It doesn't work when you then fall in love with another Bible, or you maybe lose the Bible for a couple years and then find another Bible. So that's out the window. But at that moment, when they referenced that they were singing a song straight from Scripture, I found it incredibly just a wonderful, like, oh, like, literally, is it going to be word for word? And I wanted to know. And so I opened up my Bible, as they said that they were going to sing Ephesians 3, 2021, and I found out it was already highlighted. Oh, that means I already liked it, right? And I just didn't know why I liked it. It was already highlighted. And so I listened to them sing it, and they read the verse, and I thought, that's an amazing thing when Scripture can really come to life. Because if you don't know me, I love music, and it speaks to my soul. So I love the fact that they were referencing the song, and as they sang it, it just started to resonate to me in a really neat way as a 16-year-old. And I'm going to tell you that this verse is also a part of, like, this timeless treasure, as all Scripture verses are. But it is a verse that has grown with me and lived in my heart. And by the end of this morning, if you have not picked a life verse and you love this one, I'm going to gift it to you. You can have it. You can claim it as your own. But before we get into that, this whole verse has to do with prayer and dreams and being bold and really truly learning how to pray God's ways and not our ways. When we think about prayer, I want to show you this Matthew passage. We know that prayer is just a conversation with God. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are with. It certainly does matter if you can learn to feel comfortable and pray boldly, and maybe you have to pray over certain scriptures, whatever it is. We can go from baby steps to big steps. But the most important thing I want you to hear today is that we are learning to pray God's will in our lives and not our own. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private." What I love about that verse is the children's sermon that I went through for about the last 2 years on Fifth Sundays were the armor of God. And when you look at, like, the movies War Room and being a fervent prayer warrior, that's what this one kind of references, that you go away and you have a place where you can just talk to Jesus. But we all know, I mean, I could not make it through my day if I went away in a room all by myself. I'm praying, I'm talking, I'm driving, I'm teaching, I'm working, and I'm still talking to Jesus, and it is my sustainer in my life. But it is a conversation with your Heavenly Father who already deeply loves you. And I pray today that we just find a new way to have this conversation with God. In order for me to really set that up for you, I want you to picture different ways that maybe you've prayed with somebody or for somebody. You can be praying in your car. I tell my students upstairs all the time that Miss Trina loves to drive and pray, but I sound a little crazy, or I look a little crazy. And so my phone. So if I really need to talk to Jesus, which is before I start teaching or I start my day, I actually literally will drive and put my phone to my mouth. And then I can boldly talk out loud to God. You may use that. If you don't want to look crazy at the red light, just put your phone up. They'll think you're having a conversation. I've dialed heaven every morning. You can pray when someone is immediately in need. How many times do we walk away and we think, I said I'd pray for them, and we don't want to not do that, so we just grab them in the moment and pray for them. I love to pray in people's ears and while I'm hugging them. My kiddos, I pray for them all the time. If I know that they're starting something new, or like they're going out my door because it's the first day of school, or kind of a new adventure, a big game, whatever it is, I'll pray for them, and I know it's because I'm their mother and they're feeling a little uncomfortable in my moment, but they literally have all at some point in their lives looked at me and said, like, Mom, I'm good. I don't even feel nervous. I know, but I do, or I know, but I'm still going to pray for you anyway, because almost like praying for them makes them feel like, oh, I must need some prayer for this game, and I'm not doing it to stress them out. It's just to calm all of our spirits. So be bold and pray for people, whether it's in your car, at a stoplight, a person's ear, hugging them, driving to and from work, but start your day. When my oldest started high school, I just did not want to forget how important it was to pray over the building and their safety. And so I chose to hang a cross necklace on my rearview mirror, because whenever I look at that necklace, it reminds me that if I'm not praying for my four children, who is? And I boldly call each my mother and my mother-in-law, and I do the same thing. I can't do it on my own as a mom for all the burdens that I have for my kids and my dreams and my desires. And I call each mother and mother-in-law and ask them to pray for things, because I believe in the power of prayer in this community of a prayer group. But how many times do we approach Jesus like a bit of a Clark Kent? We know that Clark Kent is a reporter, and he is telling us like it is. And then he steps into this phone booth, and he comes out as a superhero. We've all prayed this way. Dear God, they're broke. He needs a job. Give them one. Is there anything wrong with that? No, we're telling it like it is. But does God already know that? Yes. One thing that just blew my mind is to think of the fact that God already has all those details. How neat would it be that in this trying time for this person's life, who needs a job, who needs money, and I can be in that hero syndrome. Like, I've had to really learn to listen to somebody's burdens, pray for it, and then give it to Jesus because I can't fix it. I can't fix everybody's problems. But in that moment, maybe that's something God was really working on through that person's life. And in that trying time of waiting, they truly learned to rely on God. So when you're praying for that miracle that somebody needs, like a job, Lord, I pray that in this waiting while they need this job, that they would rely on you, that they would come to you with their fears and worries, that miracles would happen in their lives and sustain them, but in all this, that they would praise you. That's going from Clark Kent to superhero to praying God's way in our lives. If we can open up our hands before we really dive in and just say, you're going to repeat after me. Dear God, help me to pray your ways and not my ways. And then maybe this will really open up our mind into a new way that we can pray for people and love on them. God is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He knows everything that we need. And when we look at the Clark Kents and the superheroes, we know that in these trying times, temporary trouble can be a stepping stone to godly character. And I don't know about you, but in those times, when you think it's hopeless, you don't know the answer that's going to come, you're in a period of waiting, it can seem like an eternity. But if we can commit that time to praying, godly character in the waiting, peace and patience, when the answer comes, the job comes, the peace over your life comes, can you go back and reflect and say, this is how God wanted me to endure these times, and know that that was a stepping stone to godly character? In Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, I want to sing to you what it sounded like from those sweet a cappella men, that quartet, but you have to pretend it was four men, because the song still sticks in my head, and when they sang it on stage, it sounded like this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, now to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. They literally sang it in four-part harmony to the exact words that was found in Scripture. So we know that Paul wrote Ephesians, and before we can just dive into two sentences, we have to see what it led up to. And I want to read to you, and you can follow along on the slide, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. One thing that I really, really learned and loved at this conference that I knew as an educator and as a teacher, and how often we forget to bring that into our church life, is that it takes your brain up to 9 minutes to fully engage with something you're reading, to really resonate in your brain, and you start to feel it, or you hear character voices. You can't wait in anticipation of what's coming next. And how often do we read our Bibles for like less than five? Raise your hand. This is a judge-free zone. I'll never remember. Like, really, like, our quiet times are 5 to 10 minutes, right? And half of that is maybe reading our scriptures. The other half, like, I love the feel-good stories of other moms who write it. That's the whole other half of my brain, and I do connect to that quicker. But the last time I truly connected in a deep and passionate way with my scriptures compared to a live writer who's written a devotional, much more that direction than this. And the goal that this guy had happened to work perfect with Ephesians, I knew I was already going to preach on it, I already love that book, is that you read the same book of the Bible over and over for 30 days every single day. And eventually you're going to start to hear the characters, the voices, and it will resonate you in a new and different way. That's something you want to just kind of start in your reading plan this year. Just come and see me afterwards, because there's a couple good books of the Bible to start with, like Ephesians and Philippians and whatnot. And this man read the entire book of John in dramatic stand-up form. And it just immediately brought those scriptures to life. So I'm going to be a little dramatic for you when I read this, because I really want, in these 2 seconds that I read this part, you will really hear this conversation as Paul is writing God's words to us. I want you to hear two things. I want you to hear the passion and the knowledge he has for God's love and what he really wants for us in our lives. But I also want you to hear right here, right now, your name, because we get to be selfish today. We can pray for ourselves, and you can put your name and insert it in. And then if there's a burden on your heart, somebody you know you need to be praying for that really needs to hear this, insert their name. And I wish I could read this to you 2, 3, 4 times, but I encourage you to go home and read it out loud, Look in the mirror. Believe it for yourself. But right now, we're all going to take a deep breath. And I want you to hear me reading this to you in a very passionate, dramatic way with your name in it, because I pray this over all of our lives. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts and you will trust in him. Your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete in all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That could be a verse that hangs on your mirror and you insert that word that you want them to know so passionately how deep and how long and how far and how wide God's love truly is. It literally tells us we can't even begin to comprehend it. That's how glorious and big it is. When I imagine praying those words over somebody, unlimited resources to our loved ones, to your spouse, to a child, to a friend, that you would know how long, how deep, how wide, that all of our problems can be given to God, that we could ask for him to solve them, to heal this, but instead, Lord, make their life complete in all of his fullness and power, I would feel so much more passionate for that person's needs if I inserted those words. Imagine what your prayer life could look like. When we look at Ephesians 3, 20, 21, I want to break it into three parts. And if you're following along in your program, you'll see some fill-ins. The first fill-in is, God is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. I see this line as a very dreamy line. We get to dream. We get to plan. We get to be big. For my 40th birthday, my sister wrote me a card that said, "You're the only person I know who picked their job and college from the cradle," or something like that, which is true. Like, I don't dream outside of what I think might actually happen. I mean, I dream big and I pray big and I'm bold, but like my husband used to tease, if you had just kept singing, you know, we could just live off of you and you could be famous. And I'm like, I just wanted to be locally famous. He's like, what is that? Well, if Point Reyes came into town, they would just call me up and I could help out if someone was sick. That's all I wanted to do. I had already toured for years all across the country and I'm such a homebody, I'm not even sure how I pulled that off for 4 years. But when I dreamt in my reality, and I feel like I'm living my reality, and there are still dreams and things and prayers that we should be praying. For me, this journey, this verse that I learned at such a young age, how it has come into fruition to my reality. And I know like everyone's journey out here and how you've become parents have come with tumultuous and joys and heartaches and fears and worries. And I had all of those things. And in fact, when I describe this, I speak at MOPS groups all across the area. I tell them I'm kind of Switzerland when it comes to motherhood. But at age 11, I was told I wouldn't be able to have any children. And I prayed this verse boldly and over and over and over again. And you flash forward, I would never have known what this journey would look like. But our first was with fertility drugs. Our second was with planning. Our third was a surprise. And our fourth through adoption. See why I'm Switzerland? And when I speak to groups of moms, I feel like I can fit into everybody's journey. Could I have imagined that? No. Did I just have to stay the course and be on the plan that God wanted? Yes. God's plan is far better for our lives than our own. More than you ask or imagine, that verse is not lost on me in the passionate prayers that I prayed. And you know that once you start that journey of motherhood, there is nothing more needing of prayer and fatherhood than to constantly be praying over your children. And I still dream and pray big and pray bold and more than I could ask or imagine because I know that I'm about to have my fourth teenager this week. I will take your prayers. That is four teenagers in one house. I love them all. I'm not going to name them because I'm kind of broke right now. There are no 20s in my wallet. I've practiced this with no names. But I will tell you that verse is not lost on me to ask more than you could ask or imagine, because I'm now praying for these four beautiful children who have come into my life in four completely different ways, and we made it through this middle hump, and now we're in this teenage hump, and I'm even more passionate in that they would never walk away from Jesus, that they would live in his light and his plans for their life. And I'm pretty sure anyone out there who has children older than mine, those prayers don't stop, do they? You just, whether they're your adult children or whatever, that verse is not lost on me and how important I have to pray that over these four blessings that are sitting to my right. The second fill-in is according to his power that is at work within us. His power. So we need to have Jesus resonating in our hearts, first and foremost, to have him the center of our lives as our Lord and Savior, so that his power can work it within us. And even though I have the word power in us underlined, the key word in there is work. Like all relationships in our lives, our relationship with Jesus takes work. You have to invest in it. You have to try. You have to be in his word. You have to be studying it, reading the scriptures. Maybe you're going to take that chapter and read it every day for a month and let that one just resonate and become a memorization in your brain. For me, we'd have to go back to my very early years of teaching. My husband was in grad school, and I started teaching third grade. I was the only new hiree in a very small district, and I had quite a drive to Harrisburg. Like, now you can drive to Harrisburg, and you see things all along the way. That was not how it was when I drove to Harrisburg. It was me and a country road and then school. Being the only new hiree, I felt, when I look back at those first couple years until I really bonded with my coworkers, it was such a lonely time. You go into a new profession of any kind, especially as a young graduate, 21, you are afraid to have humility, right? And to be humble, like, I don't have it all together. I felt the need to, I just graduated, I know what I'm doing, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was very hard to bond with a group of teachers that had been together for years and years. And in that lonely time, I kept asking God to change me, like, help me be less like this, and help me be less like this. And one of the main things I constantly asked God to change was my sensitivity. I don't want to be sensitive. I don't want to be so empathetic, and the word empathy has really come a long way in these years with Brené Brown, but that was not the word I was trying to pray. So I chose to do the hard work on myself. I have been a child of God my whole life, a pastor's kid who married a pastor who's in the ministry, but yet you can lose your own identity and have the identity of other people around you. And I was literally Tarina Stroh with a new name. I was now Mrs. Stroh. To these third graders and learning a whole new trade, and I'm out of school. And it was just a very lonely, if I could push back and have the new Tarina start that, you know, like, it would have been a whole different experience, but we have to learn and grow through the hard times. I feel like I'm ignoring you. Sorry. My chair does rotate. I'll put my leg on this side since my toes barely fit the bar. Here we go. I do have to pause since I'm talking about the school and make fun of my friend, Mr. Gary, who said, I'm really glad you preach from a stool because then we can see you. To which I said, I didn't know that was a problem. I thought you, because I do lead worship and I stand, but I just didn't want to, I don't like to stand and wander, so I choose a bench, just so that you could set me apart from Pastor Doug and Pastor Brian, then this is just my style. But I feel like I'm ignoring you. Anyway, when I needed to do the hard work, I chose to do the 40 days of a purpose-driven life by, yes, raise your hand if anyone has done that. Yes. To me, it was life-changing for two reasons. One, I am not a person who needs to take out a bunch of bad habits in my life. I don't have a lot of bad habits, but I am always going to be the person who needs to stay with the good habits. Like, I don't really do New Year's resolutions. In fact, my new kind of motto in life is, like, just pick the next best thing. Like, what's the next best thing you could do in your day? That has just opened up my mind, because when we start this little, like, if you don't do it and you miss a day, how many times you just give up? Lasted a week. I'm done doing that. I don't want to do that because there's 365 days in a year and then I just have to start all over. I would just rather try the next best thing. And like in our house, we say everything in moderation. Like, eat that, do that, have fun. But everything's in moderation and not limit yourself. Well, I needed to stay the course for 40 days of a purpose-driven life. I needed to do 40 days and I needed to do it in a row. And I did it to CD and he read to me and it was mind-blowing. A, that I did 40 days, but B, what I learned in there, the biggest thing in my work, in my relationship with Jesus Christ, was how offensive it is to God to ask him to change us when he made us that way intentionally. So where I didn't want to be sensitive, I learned to embrace it because someone has to notice if someone is sad, right? Someone has to stop and give a hug. I'm a hugger. I love hugs. Someone has to notice that someone's feeling down or happy or whatever it is. Does that have to be fully my burden? No. But it is my job as a child of God, using that gift and talent that God has given me, to stop and show empathy to somebody when they need it and hope that somebody would do the same for me. And how offensive it is to God when we ask him to pray and change us in those ways. We need competitive people. Raise your hand. It's just not me. We all know this. Raise your hand. We need competitive people. We need people who are passionate. All these talents. Who was other than competitive? I'm just so the opposite. I'm high empathy. Raise your hand. I will notice if you feel sad. And sometimes, I remember one time with my principal, she's like, was it obvious? Like, I have kind of offended her. I'm like, no, it's just how I roll. But she, I wanted her to know that you're holding it together well for the 40 of us teachers, but I could tell I needed to stop, ask her how she was doing, and pray for her. And I needed to embrace what my gifts and talents are, just like everybody else has theirs. And that was the hard work I had to do in myself. I'm also absolutely horrible at journaling. I love Jesus. I love devotions. I love my prayer time. I do not like to write about it. So I am gifting today my new thing. And my new thing, I have already failed, okay? It is January 26th, and I failed. And in fact, I really wanted to be so successful that when I learned about this in November, I was going to have 3 months to show you. And I failed. And here's some. And then there's not some. But I still believe in this and love it enough that I bought it for somebody out here. And I didn't, I was going to put a little donut in your bulletin, but this is a very high price value and a very unique item that, like, Joe Schmo might not love. So I just want to describe it for you as the way that I am still working in my life. I thought this would really sum me up. It's a prayer journal. I like to write the Bible verse that I read in my devotion, but it's for 10 years. So this is like January 20th. Don't be scared. It's actually better, I promise. Meaning, like, I only have to buy one journal for 10 years. I have, like, 90 in my office started from every study, and then it goes to die. And as a teacher, I have journals from students, too. So, like, if this was January 17th, I write the Bible verse I read and what my prayers are, and I write it. They say to keep the same pen for the whole year, and then here's the next day, so that next year, when I go to 2021, and I look back, here's the aha moment. Ready? Ah, this is what I prayed for at that moment. And then I get to reflect back on how God answered that, or this is what my heart was feeling, all the way down for 10 years. I'm going to fail, but I'm going to try. And if this is something that you think out there, I have been looking for this, then you get to come to my brand new Lifeway coffee mug from my conference, because we do Lifeway curriculum here, and write your name in the cup, and I will draw it out. Going out of my comfort zone, I don't have one for everybody. Everybody will not be a winner today. One. And I'm feeling okay for what we paid for this. I'm okay. I'm okay that one of you is going to win. And the rest of you, you're going to be very nice and graciously say okay, right? Because let me tell you, at this conference, I went to 28 booths to get signatures, to put my name on a drawing, because I was 100% sure that I never win, but I was going to win this time. And it took me 2 hours in that store to get 28 signatures, just in case they were going to pull my name so I could go to this conference for free next year. I did not win. And I had to be a gracious loser, so I'm going to ask that of you also. When you put your name in there, I'll pull one out. If this is something that you think you would love to try. And then for everybody else, I'll just tell you where I ordered it. And it is kind of handmade, so it takes a long time for it to come. I want to leave behind a legacy of how passionate I feel about prayer, that I have prayed for them and for you and in my life all day long. I talk to Jesus all day long. And I'm okay if I look a little crazy at weird times at stoplights. But I want to make sure I leave behind two things. One, that someday when I'm on the other side of this world in heaven with my Lord and Savior and they find this, they see, oh, my mom was more worried about this than I was. And maybe they get to look back and reflect. And I'm going to fail. And I'm super open and honest with that to all of you here today. But I want to try. I want to try one journal for 10 years. So if that's something you want to do. But think of a way that you can work on your relationship where his power is at work within you. Maybe it's a new study. Maybe it's a new new small group or group here that you're connecting with, finding accountability partner. Even my mentee wanted to read something with me, so we ordered a book together, and I think another set already read that, Dina and Alex, 100 Days of Brave, yes? But how neat that my own high school mentee says to me, let's do something together. Yeah. Find something that you can partner up with somebody and do the hard work in your relationship, that it is a fresh and new and exciting experience with Jesus Christ and that he is filling in your soul. But you cannot feel that if you don't put in the hard work with him. And the last fill-in on your program there, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What I hear on this one is that we have to thank God for the bad days too. In all things, give thanks. We are ending with an attitude of gratitude to say that even in my ugliest day, Lord, I give you all the glory. And my biggest example that I can give for this one is something that has taken my entire life. I even told you last year at this exact time in my adult sermon, and if you're new here and you wonder what my quotes mean, it means when I preach on Fifth Sundays, I'm preaching to the kiddos. And I'm going to tell you, kind of as a Proverbs, like, you have your feet, but the Lord directs your steps. When I teach to kids, there are my muse, and my steps go off course. But I always roll with where they're going. You guys are just a lot quieter, and I'm not wearing a costume for you, but whatever. I said last year at the same time that I was a recovering people pleaser, and I think that's probably my favorite thing about getting into my 40s is knowing that this is how I roll. And in fact, my own son says this all the time because he really doesn't care what people think of him. And he'll often say, Mom, this is just how I roll. Oh, please get there sooner in life. Just get there. Who cares? I want to just squeeze every little middle schooler and high schooler and maybe even college kids. Just don't care about everybody else. You do you. That is literally our family motto. You do you. One time I said, honey, I want to set the Christmas tree early. But, and when I was starting to say why I thought my sister would judge me, he's like, honey, you do you. You want to put the tree up? Put the tree up. Okay. I am the matriarch of my family. I get to make the heavy decisions. Doesn't matter what my sister says. Oh, big sisters. They can be cruel. She might be listening. I don't know. I might not remind her. Anyway, I love you. All that to say, what I have learned to give glory to God in all things is that I'm finally to the place where when I'm in the middle of my most trying times, I have fear, I have worry, I have anxiety, I have all those things. I can find God's peace and presence in my life so much faster now than I've used to be able to because I have reflected back on all those times that I thought, this is terrible, this is the end, and I don't mean the end of life, but like the end of something that has just bogged me down, and I can immediately reflect. So our brains have to go to where has God already answered those prayers? Where are all those other times in your journey that he has already met you there, and you have to reflect back on it? Because I can go back and do that in my brain, in that moment, I can give God the glory forever and amen and know that this is my trying day for today. And the other thing I really learned is it always looks better in the morning. Don't answer those questions at night. Sit on it. Pray on it. Wake up the next morning and you realize what felt so detrimental yesterday does not feel so bad today. There's a huge amount of peace in the waiting. You don't have to have an answer for everybody on the moment. Pray about it, think on it, literally sleep on it, and it will feel better in the morning. But we all need to be able to give God the praise and the glory, even amongst the most trying times in your life, because you know that God's, what? Oh, you got that too. God's got this. Let's say it together. I think we need to be a little more passion. Like, I'm 2 seconds away from making you stand up and cheer with me. God's, okay, like if we were upstairs, like we'd be moving our bodies a whole lot more. God's got this. Go back right now. Think of something that you've prayed on and you know how God answered those prayers. And it was a long waiting. It was a short waiting. It was a troubling time. But God had it. Sit in that peace and presence. In the moment, the next time it comes, call upon it. Find it. Find the joy in the moment and give God all the praise and glory. Our human failures, our weakness, and our doubt will always bog us down. But to him that we ask more than we can imagine, that we ask bold, we ask in faith, and we thank God in all things. To this day, I need him to be my sustainer in worry. I need to cast it quicker than I've ever done before because I know that I cannot do anything on my own human nature. And I pray that all of these things that I am learning is something that you can learn and implement in your life because we are growing, molding. God's not done with us yet, people. Upstairs, our kiddos, we're doing a whole construction unit, and I'm making them sing the oldest 80s song ever, and I don't care that they like it, right? Like, ask Missy and Tim, we're doing it anyway, because any of my teachers that were born and raised in the church are like, I remember doing that song. It's this whole construction song that says, I just forgot it. Tim, help me. We're kids under construction. Oh, thank you. Maybe the Lord's not done with me yet. I tell you, I'm a human failure right here. I forgot it. And then now I'm not going to get out of my head for like a week. But I'm making them sing it because I want them to know that God's not done with them and God is not done with you. We are constantly moving. I always want to play with this Play-Doh in my head, knowing that God is constantly molding and moving me and helping me grow. And this verse that I gave to you today is one that has moved with me, has meant something different to me, has revealed God to me in a special and unique way, and all of it is our conversation with him. I pray that you have a deep prayer life. I pray that you would feel his deep, deep, deep love and honor for you. He made you. This is Jim's favorite. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because we need to tell ourselves that every day. We really do. Because he made no mistake when he made you. But it is our job to go with the hard work to fill up our cups so that we can go out into this dark world, which is why I pray that all the time. Because we cannot fight this battle. We cannot be beautiful examples of Jesus' love and grace. And we cannot model it in our homes if we are not doing the hard work in ourselves. And I pray that you take all of it to Jesus. And as I end, I want to sing to you a song. I couldn't even hold myself back. Literally, we learned it on Wednesday, didn't we, Kelsey? When I called her and said, I may be crazy, but I'm adding something. This is my absolute favorite song from the conference. And if I was a writer, and I am, but nothing that I would ever show anybody in public, obviously not in a journal. I'm a mental writer. Just kidding, that's not a thing. If I was a writer, this would be a love song between Jesus and I in what a prayer life can look like in giving God all of that praise and glory. But I want you to really wake up your souls and hear this. We put it on a slide so you could follow. It has nothing to do with me or Kelsey as the singers. Don't even look at us. There are deep parts of me that wish we were Lutheran and we had a balcony. I would go up there and sing to you in a heartbeat. I sang at all my Lutheran cousins' weddings, and it was a heavenly option. Just saying, if we just build a little something. Because I want you to really stare at the words. I want it to resonate in your heart. I want this to become a prayer. And then you are so going home and playing it on your Alexa. It's called The Goodness of God. And you can make your Alexa play it all the time that you want. And I want to sing this as a prayer to you. And then when we are all finished, I want to give you a benediction of my favorite verse.